Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Henry Ward Beecher was a famous preacher back in the 1800s, and he wrote a prayer that makes a good introduction to this morning's Advent service. We beseech of thee, O Lord our God, that thou wilt grant to every one of us the special mercies which he needs. Strength where weakness prevails, and patience where courage has failed. Grant that those who need long suffering may find themselves strongly upborne and sustained. Grant if any are heart weary and sick from hope deferred, that they may find rest in thee. They're old words, but still so true today. Who doesn't at times need the will to endure? You know, I think life simply has a way of revealing how much we need a greater spirit of long-suffering, which causes us to pray often, God, I need patience, and I need it now. Maybe that defines where you find yourself even today. So let me ask, is the birth of Jesus just for December 25th? For most people, baby Jesus gets put away with the other decorations after Christmas. But as God's people, is there ever a time we don't need the hope of God's advents in our lives? What we've been looking at the past couple of weeks is that Christmas is about a God who comes not just at Christmas time, but comes to you at all times. And maybe especially when you're going through rough times. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need and what you're going through. Emmanuel, God with us, is still true today, not just at Christmas, but every day. If you can make this part of each day, this idea of God's coming to you, if you can make it part of your day each day through scripture and prayer, the Spirit will certainly give you long suffering, and Beecher's prayer will be answered. You will find yourself strongly upborne and sustained. This morning, we're considering how God answered the cries of the children of Israel when they were suffering in Egypt. And you may remember what had gotten them there. When the land of Canaan experienced a severe famine, Jacob heard that there was food in Egypt. So through a series of events, he and his family ended up in Egypt. They came as refugees. They perhaps were treated as refugees, or often treated. But when it was revealed that Jacob's son Joseph was the second most powerful man in Egypt, they settled permanently, and life was good. But like all things this side of heaven, good things are fleeting. And Exodus picks up the story generations later. There arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service. I think, in short, for the Israelites, their weakness prevailed and their courage had failed. What do you do? What do you do in your times of suffering? The people of Israel groaned about their slavery, and they cried out for help. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. God knew. You know, I was looking at that this week. God knew what? What did God know? God knew what their needs were. And God knew what to do. Jesus tells us that our Heavenly Father knows our needs as well. But, and this is very important, the children of Israel didn't know that God was coming to their rescue. They hadn't heard from God for 400 years. And from what they could see, God wasn't answering their prayer. But as we also know, he most certainly was. You know, when we read that God remembered their prayer, it doesn't mean that God suddenly got up one morning and thought, oh, hey, wait a minute, I forgot all about those Israelites in Egypt, those children of Abraham. Oh, man, I better go check on them. That phrase, God remembered, comes up again and again and again in scriptures. And what it really means is, the time is right. It's now time for me to act. See, God knew what was going to happen. Nothing surprises him. And he had a great advent prepared for these people. And whether we see it or not, in our times of suffering, we can trust that God knows. He knows. And that our prayers are heard and being answered in the best way for us. How does Isaiah put it? Before they call, I will answer. I love that. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. I think sometimes our prayers are more for ourselves than for God. Reminds us how much we need him. But it also reminds us that when we pray for something and it happens, we see God's hand in it. That happened to my son, actually, just this week. I'm not going to tell you the story. God's a whole different story. But he saw that happen in such an incredible way, and it was just really cool. Unbeknownst to the Israelites, God was already prepping someone to rescue them, a guy by the name of Moses. Now, Moses was an Israelite. He was one of them. But you probably remember that he had killed one of Pharaoh's slave drivers, and that caused him to flee from Egypt, right? He ended up in Midian. And one day, while Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, he saw that famous burning bush. And curious, Moses left the flock to go see this thing, and his life was never the same, because he experienced a one-on-one advent with God. From out of the fiery bush, God told him, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. And I often wonder what was the internal conversation that Moses was having as this was going on. I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I've seen the taskmasters. I wonder if Moses was thinking, yeah, I saw it too. And that's why I'm in Midian now. 40 years later, still running from Pharaoh. But why tell me? And so God says, here's why. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is where I wish I could read Moses' mind. Imagine the alarm bells that were going off. If he goes back, he's a dead man. And you may have noticed or remembered from the Old Testament reading that was just a few minutes ago. First thing he does is he makes an excuse, right? And when God says, I'm not going to listen to that excuse, then he says, well, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers, and notice that he doesn't say the God of our fathers, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? And God answers with a most solemn announcement. I am who I am. Say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God tells Moses that the prayers of his people are heard by the God who is. I am who I am, period. Everything else in life is temporary. Even your suffering is only for a time. But God always is. He is present tense, forever. So who is this me when God says, "Tell them I am has sent me to you"? Who is that? Really? No. It's Moses, right? Tell them God has sent me to you. And we know that with signs and wonders, Moses brought God's promise to rescue his people. So, yes, I am sent Moses to do this. But there's another one who was sent. At the end of his life, Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." There is to be another prophet, a greater prophet than Moses, the ultimate I am who is sent. 7 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus identifies himself as I am. He says 4 times in John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life." And later he says, "I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine." And each time Jesus said, "I am," he used the Greek words set aside for the holy name of God by the Jews. It wasn't just any God who spoke to Moses at the burning bush. It was our God, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Another one was sent. God the Father sent his Son. And Jesus himself says, "The works that I am doing bear witness to me that the Father has sent me." And again, this is the work of God, that you believe in whom he has sent. And again, this is as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Now here's where Moses' words become important. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." Jesus did the greater work that Moses could only dream of. Not an exodus from Egypt, but the exodus which brought you deliverance from sin and death and hell. You were ransomed, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God. Moses said, "It is to him you shall listen." Faith means living each day with the awareness that I am comes to you as your very present help in trouble. We can believe this because Jesus promises, "I am with you always to the very end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you." We are to listen to him who says, "Even though it still hurts, even though there's fear, know that I am with you." And one final thought to consider. You've probably heard the joke about the man who was forced to the roof of his house during a flood, right? Probably heard this one. Boat came for him. What'd the man say? "God's going to rescue me." And a helicopter came. And again, the man said, no, God will rescue me." The waters kept rising, swept him away, and the man died. In heaven, he asked God, "Why didn't you rescue me?" And God said, "Well, I sent a boat and a helicopter. Why didn't you go with them?" You see, our God is a sending God. Moses was sent by God. The Father sent Jesus And Jesus sends you and me to bring his rescue to others. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And you know what? He means it. He's sending you and me on a rescue mission. He sends us to tell those who don't know Jesus that he loves them, that he wants them to know his forgiveness, his peace. And he sends us to those who do know him, people who are struggling in the difficulties of life, to give them encouragement and help and hope. And we can do that. We can. We can do this as we remember that before he sends us, he comes to us to give us the strength and the words that we need to do what he tells us to do. The I am of the burning bush, the I am who is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God's word in the flesh, comes to us. He comes to us through his Spirit. He comes to us through his written word, the Bible, God's book of Advents, the place in which he does come to us. His words come to us to encourage us, to bear us up, to sustain us. To sustain us until Advents are no longer needed, because we'll be with him forever. Amen.